Welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's webinar, How to Sustain a Safety Culture with Multi-Channel Training. My name is Chase, and I will be moderating today's session. Now I would like to introduce today's speakers. First, I'm pleased to introduce Xavier Aguilera, Director of Corporate Environmental Health and Safety at Bumblebee Foods. Xavier has over 13 years of experience in manufacturing with an emphasis on environmental health and safety, also known as EHS. He joined the Bumblebee family a little over 2 years ago, and his area of focus includes management of Bumblebee's corporate-wide safety culture. Prior to working at Bumblebee, he worked at Parker Aerospace, managing all aspects of the company's EHS program. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today. Next, I would like to introduce Raj Shah, Chief Marketing and Strategy Officer here at Alchemy. Raj brings 25 years of business strategy and execution expertise to Alchemy. Prior to Alchemy, Raj ran a strategy firm helping technology clients design and implement B2B sales and marketing initiatives. Raj was also senior manager at McKinsey, working with executives in retail, energy, manufacturing, and technology companies to devise growth strategies. Welcome, Raj. Today, Raj will discuss some of the challenges we face in training today's frontline workforce, and he will explain the multi-channel training approach. Then Xavier will walk us through Bumblebee's experience and results from incorporating multi-channel training methods, and we'll finish it off with a Q&A at the end of the presentation. With that, I will gladly hand it over to Raj.
Thank you, Chase. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining. As most of you already know, training is a pretty hard thing in a food company, especially training those frontline workforces. And it can be quite a challenge. For many of you, English is a second language for many facilities. Many of you have seasonal workforces and rely on contract and temp labor. Getting training on the schedule, especially the refresher training, can be a real challenge, especially with production demands being so tight and the labor supply being fairly tight. And since the trainers and HRs typically know that they have the newbies, the new hires, for just a short time at the beginning, we typically like to cram them with everything we can in terms of the training that we can provide them. So they often have little context for the work that they're about to do. We'll talk about in a minute here. Workers in general are fairly unengaged in the work that they're doing, according to the polls from Gallup. So getting them really focused on and their attention focused on the training can be quite a challenge. And then, of course, with training budgets always being one of the tighter resources, it's always, even in the best time, it's pretty hard to get the amount of time and the number of training resources that you have. So overall, it's just the challenges continue to grow from a training perspective, especially as it relates to frontline workers. And so let's see the impact of training and onboarding, specifically onboarding. We're going to do a quick poll. And just give us a sense of what percent of the workers you think start their job without the confidence that they know the right procedures. Okay. According to all of you, and there's several hundred of you online right now, 56% of you think 40% of the workers are starting their job without having the confidence in the procedures. Just think about that for a second. Actually, the good news is it's not that bad. It turns out that 1 in 5 workers start their jobs without the confidence that they know the proper procedure. So it's not as bad as you all are fearing, but it is still pretty bad when you think about the roles that they play in the front line, whether it's related to food safety or workplace safety. But it is a little bit scary, right, that 40% of you all think that they're not ready or the procedures they're about to handle, whatever that job task might be. And it gets worse, actually, because after they get on the initial training, there is the first onboarding of 30 to 90 days. And one of the research that we've looked at is the Dr. Ebbinghaus. He's a researcher who did this work many, many years ago. But the notion is that 80% of the training knowledge is lost within the first month. There's a whole host of reasons for that. Some of these are controllable things and some are uncontrollable, right? We can't change brain chemistry and retention and memory and things like that. But there are a set of factors that we as HR and trainers can control that have to do with the actual course design, the length of course, the type of topics, the timing of the topics, et cetera. So let's do another poll here real quick. Give us a sense of what percentage of the workers say that the training itself is too complex. The data we're showing you, Alchemy worked with an organization called the Center for Research and Public Policy. It's a market research firm. They do all kinds of work for NASA and several other large food companies as well. And they polled over 2,000 food industry frontline workers And so this research is directly from that. It was done about 15, 16 months ago. So the question is, what percent of the workers say that the training is too complex? 36%, you got it exactly right. Yeah, 37% of the workers, and interestingly, 43% of their supervisors say that training is too complex and difficult to understand. So if you combine all the challenges that you'll have with the workers and think about the training that we're providing them, about 40% of the folks are going out there thinking this training is way too hard or way too complex to understand. So this is another one of the reasons that the forgetting curve, the impact, that it's a control of the impact that we can have on that forgetting curve to ensure that at least the initial training is solid and they understand it. Let's keep talking through this a little bit more. One of the things I mentioned was that many workers are unengaged in the workforce. And this is research from Gallup. Gallup, as you all know, they do all kinds of polling for the nation related to all kinds of events and politics, et cetera. So they do a regular survey of the U.S. workforce, the employment population, and they ask questions around engagement. Are you engaged with the work that you're doing? And it's been fairly steady, but only about 31%, and this is, by the way, not just food industry, but overall, the whole economy, only about 31% of U.S. workers consider themselves actively engaged in the work that they're doing. They're happy doing it, and they want to be involved and engaged with it. A full 51% are not engaged, meaning they're just running through the motions, doing what they need to do to get the job done. And another 18% are actively disengaged, i.e. they really don't want to be there, and they're just not even just going through the motion, but they're actually disengaged in the work that they're doing. So, and I assume that we don't have the specific data on the food industry for this, but the assumption is it would be probably a fairly similar breakdown in terms of engagement. And as you look at the engagement by age category, millennial generation workers are the least engaged of the different generations that are in the workforce. So as we hire more and more of the millennial generation workers, you know, what can we do to make sure that they, the best we can, controllable factors we can, engage them in the work that they're doing? So then how do you reverse this forgetting curve? How do you create booster training, booster events to keep everything top of mind so they don't forget? There's a Dr. Cohn at Portland State, and in one of the, I love his comment, he says, it's what you do after training that's more important than what you do during training. And it's an interesting insight, right, because we want to basically train them, get them out on the floor, and maybe refresh the training every once in a while. But what can we do on a more regular and sustained basis to do that? And that's what leads us to this conversation around the notion of multi-channel training. The idea is it's not just one and done, but think in terms of learning moments. So how often can you learn through repetition and reinforcement to ensure that the retention is happening? And the way we think about it is obviously everyone will have onboarding training. In some cases, it could be a few hours to half a day. Some cases, it could be 2 to 3 days. But that initial onboarding training. And then the way we think about it is once the training is done, think about coaching the frontline worker, providing them with weekly huddles and supervisory conversations, and then keeping it top of mind through other reinforcement mechanisms. So think of it as more of a continuous loop of training rather than one and done is the way we think about it. So let's talk about each of these. I'll give you some examples for each of these. So let's start with onboarding training. Well, you want to start with fairly effective onboarding training, obviously. Hopefully it's engaging, it's interactive, it's relevant training. And hopefully it's not overwhelming to the newbie, right, the new employee. And I can't tell you how many times we've seen where the new hires are being brought on, and because it's so easy to get them all trained at the same time and get as much training through because you don't know the next time you'll have the chance to train them again, that they get almost like, it's like a fire hose of training that's coming to them. And the reality is it may be convenient from an HR and training perspective, but it's not necessarily the right thing to do from a learning perspective, right, because they're not capturing most of that training is going right through their head because they don't have a lot of context because they haven't been really on the floor yet. So understanding the nuances and creating lessons, learning plans, and adjusting the training at the right level of a spigot, so it's not a fire hose, but more of a spigot, is really, really critical. The way we do it at Alchemy is, you know, we, as I think most of you know Alchemy, we provide short group-based training or e-learning courses that are more in the 7 to 15 minutes long with lots of interactivity and gamification and engagement and competition to ensure that they're engaging with the training while they're getting onboarded. But how do you know that the onboarding training has been effective? Well, you really can't know unless you're really working with that frontline worker. The supervisor, managers are working with that frontline employee on the floor itself, observing and verifying that the training is actually being applied on the job. And this could be as simple as a clipboard and a piece of paper and pen, just to observe the frontline worker, the employee, and making sure that they're doing what they are. This is one of the things that we noticed about 3 years ago, and introduced a coach app that essentially does the same concept, but does it in a much more scalable way through employee sign-off, digitizing all the record keeping and observation scores and things like that. But it's as simple as a piece of paper and a clipboard to do that. After you've done the coaching, and some of the research we've done shows that by doing 3 observations, you can get employee behavior from 68% compliance to about 94% compliance once they go through 3 observations. This is some research that we had a research scientist do about 2.5-3 years ago, where he actually sat down and just literally observed, did time motion studies and observed observations of supervisor and frontline workers. So we have some real hard data that shows the value of that coaching interaction. Another way to continue the engagement and ensure that we're boosting that reinforcement of the training is to think about the supervisor-employee huddles. You know, most supervisors are there because they're really good at the job that they did, and they almost always are great they're always doing some sort of a huddle at the beginning, but they're not necessarily great communicators, and they don't necessarily have all the tools they need to. So one of the things we've developed in the last 1.5 years or so is a set of simple huddle guides. Think of them as cliff notes from back in high school, right? So on one side is what the employees can see, which is the key message, could be a food safety or workplace safety or operations message. And on the other page that's facing the supervisor is a set of talking points and a set of questions to encourage the conversation and the communications. But it doesn't have to be this, you know, formal or structured, but the point is that huddle guide is an incredibly important time to provide that reinforcement training at the beginning of each shift. And another ways to keep up with training at top of mind is to do things like digital signage or posters and things like that. Many of our clients have used these in the past on bulletin boards or standard poster, but they just weren't getting the effect that they were looking for. So we've helped them build a set of posters and digital signage content to make sure that the message breaks through. Most workers, have so many screens to look at and so many different options that they sometimes tune out things. So we really have to make sure that the messaging is powerful and impactful and, in many cases, emotional, so that it connects with them both not at their mind but also at their heart. So does all this multi-channel training really work? And we have actually an example, and Xavier's going to go through a lot more examples at Bumblebee. But we had a client at one of their facilities. They accidentally turned off all the reinforcement training. There was, I think, a manager shift or director-level shift at that location. And it was subtle at first, but by about the 6th week, and by the way, these are audit scores. They do weekly internal audits related to food safety and workplace safety. After about the 6th week, you could see a noticeable decline in the audit scores, and then that's when they realized, wait, something's gone wrong. And then they restarted the training again in 4 or 5 weeks later, and their scores came right back up again. So the notion of keeping training top of mind and not just one and done is really, really important. And this is a great example of that. We started looking at we work with almost 2 million workers almost 20,000 locations now. And so we have a lot of data, and we aggregated a lot of that data to see, okay, what is the number of learning moments that our typical clients are providing to their frontline employees? And what we see is that on average, using our training platform, 26 learning moments per year per employee. So each employee is getting about 26 training touches, learning moment touches, when they're using our training platform. And if they're using our reinforcement platform, which is like the things like the huddle guide and the other posters and digital signage, it's an additional 42 learning moment touches. So this is the kind of scale we're talking about, from one and done or occasional refresher training 2-3 times a year to more like 20 to 60 touches a year around key important safety topics, whether it be food or workplace safety. With that, let me turn it over to Xavier, we're really delighted to have him on board to present on this. He's got some really, really interesting results, hard numbers on recordable incident rates, safety incidents, and things like that that he's going to share with you as well. But let me turn it over to him and take it over, Xavier.
All right. Thank you very much for inviting me and having me over. All right. So just to give you guys a little bit of background of Bumblebee Seafoods, we were founded in 1899, quite some time ago. We do have 5 facilities throughout the United States and Canada. We do also work a lot with co-packing facilities around the world that handle and also manufacture our product. We have around 1,500 employees. That does vary based on the season. Sometimes it's a little bit up, sometimes it's a little bit down. We are North America's largest branded shelf-stable seafood company, and we have a full line of canned and pouched tuna. We do sardines, we do clams, we do salmon as well. So I kind of, just to give you guys a little bit of background, I started a little bit more than 2 years ago. When I got here, the company was struggling in regards to a lot of areas of the environmental health and safety arena. I will be focusing today in regards to the training portion and engagement of our people and embracement of our safety program. When I got here, I mean, there was really some lack of training, right? People weren't being trained on what they had to. Some did, others don't. We were struggling with a lack of traceability. So me knowing who was actually trained by each department, employee name, when was the last date of training, and people really not having evidence of training completion. And as most of you know, if there's really no paperwork, rosters, you didn't do it, right? So we always, as EHS professionals, want to see the roster, want to see the evidence to verify that the training was completed. So we were lacking in those areas. We were also struggling with outdated training content. We were relying a lot on PowerPoint presentations. Again, outdated stuff. This stuff would not really engage our people. And we were possibly sharing with them the wrong data, right, based on updated regulations. We also had a lack of structure in determining which training was provided to what personnel throughout all of our plants. And the last one, I mean, we really had very minimal visibility of our safety program on the floor. Really no digital signage, and I'll go through that a little bit more as we proceed through the presentation. All right, in regards to the status of when I got here, I was looking for what's the level of employee involvement in this facility, in this company. So I just have a little circle here that represents all the employees. And after making an evaluation, I thought, well, there's really very little people involved in safety, right? So we had typical people involved would be safety committee members, managers, supervisors, right? So that's the small circle. So my intent here was, how can I get everybody involved in the program, get engaged, and involve them in all our inspections, our audits, and all the other stuff we do, training as well, and work together as a team to evolve our safety program, our safety culture. All right, so I'll kind of walk through how we implemented Alchemy and the entire system and the multi-communication channels. It all started back in 2014. In 2014, we deployed the Alchemy training system as a solution for us to be able to properly track and document training throughout the company, with a very nice automated record-keeping system. That's something I really love about the system. It gives me the ability to record training immediately with a specific timeline. Gives me dates, the time it took people to complete the training, etc. Through this, we to help support our supervisory staff, our managerial staff, we generated a matrix to basically ensure that training was given to all the employees that required specific trainings on specific topics. We also began to consistently train on a monthly basis based on the specific topics. Like I mentioned on one of my previous slides, is we were lacking on making sure we were consistent with training our personnel throughout the year for stuff that would require yearly training, biannual training, triannual, et cetera. All right, so phase two in 2015, as we're always trying to improve and get better, in 2015, Bumblebee initiated the customization of training modules to basically address specific hazards within our operations, and I'm sure all of you have the same issue, right? Alchemy does offer off-the-shelf information, presentations, and what we started to do is create our own. And we did a little bit of a mix. We created our own presentations and kind of made them into a type of player. And we also utilized Alchemy's content and kind of made some modifications to fit our needs. The EHS department also began to schedule training sessions. This was very helpful. We scheduled training sessions. We had managers and supervisors participate on these sessions, and we were also including other people within the session. Part of that would also entail that managers and supervisors had specific days and specific times where they would have to be in our training rooms to perform a training session. And the nice thing was that it was not only for their department. There were grabbing people from all different departments, getting questions from other departments in regards to the content and the operation. So it made it really very nice setup for us to have our supervisors and managers interact with people of all the departments and all the levels, from a foreman to a lead man to a floor level person, or even a manager and supervisor attending the meeting being hosted by another manager or supervisor. All right, so phase three. So in 2016, we initiated with phase three. We continue to customize modules to address specific risk or task based on changes on regulation, or if we bring in new equipment or we make changes, et cetera. So this is a continuous process for us. Still in 2017, we're continuing to do that, to customize and address different types of modules. We did also came up with a safety incentive program. So we were looking at what can we do to engage our people when they're in the actual training room, right? Because I know sometimes it's pretty boring to go into a classroom, sit down and look at a screen and start reading content or listening to somebody talk. So we were like, well, so what can we do as a company to engage our people? So we got together as a team and started exploring the Alchemy Lightning Round. So the Lightning Round is a tool that's at the end of the training module, which asks you questions at a really fast pace, and the people answer with the remote control, yes or no, based on the content of the training. So what we did with the Lightning Round is for every... We usually do two modules a month. One could be food safety, and the other one will be workplace safety. So on the workplace safety module, what we do is we play the lightning round, and people at the end of the workplace safety course will do the round, and whoever wins, that person goes into a raffle, and we issue out $350 gift cards at the end of the month. Again, that's an incentive for them to pay attention when they're going through the module. It has worked very, very well. People are very engaged, and obviously they want to win, right? So I think it's a tool that's working. But again, we continue to explore additional engagement tools for our personnel. Through 2016, we engaging with our supervisors, we started getting a lot of questions in regards to where do we stand when it comes to the completion of training of our people. So we developed a weekly training status report that goes out to all our supervisors across the corporation. This tells them and gives them you guys can kind of see the charts there, gives them a list of their people, what group they belong to, and the status, right? Have they completed the training or not? What we did to be able to get this information is we had to formulate groups within Alchemy Manager. Through that system, this enabled us to pool this information pretty quickly. One of my safety coordinators does this, and it takes him probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes a week. But again, I do encourage this. But to make it work and make it functional and easier for people that pull this information, you do have to create your groups. That's very helpful. One of the other things we did is we implemented a leading indicator, and I'll be talking a little bit about that, but now that I have it here on the screen, that would have our supervisors and managers have the commitment to complete 95% of their training of their department on a monthly basis. And again, this is a target for them. It's on a monthly basis. This is also part of their actual safety management by objective goals in our program. So that's another motivator for them. But again, this gives them live data of where they stand, and we issue the reports. And again, they have the capability of even going into the system and checking for themselves. But the nice thing is that there's really no excuses, right? You get the information, you know where you stand, and you know what you have to do to complete and meet the goal. All right, and also in 2016, makes it seem like it was a very busy year, but in 2016, and it was, right? I have a lot of slides on 2016. We introduced working with Alchemy and Allison, my sales rep. We started talking about, again, engagement of my people within our corporation. How can we not only have them sit down in a classroom and then they leave and God knows, right? Tying it a little bit to what Raj was speaking before, I mean, people forget this stuff. So how can I make it more visible? And again, as I previously mentioned, how can I make my safety program more visible on the floor? What can we do? So eventually got introduced to the Alchemy Communications Program, and we started with the implementation of digital safety content throughout our facility, TV screens. All of my plants have screens in the manufacturing area, in the lunchrooms, in the entrance. We post a lot of information in there. I do play with the content of it, but again, we have, if we do back safety prevention, back injury prevention training on the month, everything from our digital signage to our posters to our huddle guides are all linked, right? So everything would be in relationship to back injury prevention. And you guys can kind of see that through the screen, right? We would post all that information. We have our huddle guides as well, and we have posters. How do the huddle guides work? I think it's a very, very good tool. Like Raj mentioned before, we have a lot of supervisors that I'm sure it's the case for some of you is, well, they really got promoted because they were very good workers and they knew the system. And not necessarily because they had the best management skills. And I have a lot of that too. There's really nothing wrong with it. You can always coach a person, but the huddle guides have really helped my supervisory staff and even safety committee members talk to people, right? Because they look at the talking points, they're showing the picture, and they're trying to address any safety concerns from personnel. And again, if they can't answer the question that's prompted, we'll go back to the employee and make sure it's answered. But people, again, are enjoying the information, are retaining a bit more, and I see that on the floor when people are engaging me or a supervisor with a specific topic from, if we're doing back safety, it's like, hey, I did coach an employee on pushing versus pulling one of our tuna loin baskets, et cetera. So I see the benefits, and I'll be talking about where we stand in regards to what has this program and Alchemy done for us as a platform. All right, so again, it's just trying to follow through with increasing our safety program and the visuals throughout the plants. My facility has, our facilities have a what we call a safety traffic light per se. I think it's worked pretty well. Once again, engagement of people and how can we engage them, and the more we tell them and the more we make them aware of something, the more they're going to know, and the more we can prevent. So we have a safety traffic light system, which you guys see there's a traffic light there. There's a little poster there with a dummy. How the system works is that if we have the green light throughout the day, well, we had a safe day. We had no issues come up. If there's a yellow, we either had a near miss or a first aid injury. And if there's a red, we either had a recordable or a lost time injury. What do? The dummy gets an actual sticker if it's an injury, first aid, or recordable. If we had a significant near miss or something, well, the dummy's not going to get a picture. But if you guys see that white circle next to the yellow line on the poster, that's where we post what actually happened. So this is the initial dummy. If you actually get to see my dummy, it does have some, unfortunately, has some stickers. But again, people are very engaged, and this is a portion of the daily safety talk as well, done by supervisors and managers. People stand there and read and question and ask what happened if the light's yellow or the light is red. So again, another great tool to kind of engage people and communicate to the operators on the floor what actually happened. This safety light is actually right next to our time clock, so it's very, very visible. So everybody clocks in through there, everybody sees that. All right, so kind of tying everything around, it's what Raj mentioned prior in the presentation, right? This, all these programs and everything we are doing is trying to make sure that people retain the information that's presented to them, right? So, and this is done through, I really believe, repetition of content really helps you retain information, reinforcement as well. So we go through the onboarding process of our new people. We do have probably one quarter of my workforce is actually temporary workforce. So we do have a lot of onboarding, so that is a struggle for us, but we're always constantly working and evolution of our onboarding process. What can we do to get better? On the coaching, weekly huddles, and refresher training, right? So people sometimes question, why do I have to get trained on this again? And it could be a multiple things. It's either required by regulation, company policy, or just a specific risk or hazard you have at a facility that requires you to be trained on that. So this kind of ties it around with why we really went towards trying to engage our people at a higher level with Alchemy Communications program and the training we provide. So why did we also look for solutions? Part of the issue I had is our previous, and I'll say my because it's my company as well, right? I work for them. My previous safety strategy was really looked at safety versus production, right? It was like a constant battle. You're asking me to do this, but it hinders my production. I'm a little slower. It's a pain to do. I've never had an issue before, and I've done it this way 25 years, and you get here and you want to change everything. So it was also it was always a constant battle, and that's the way it was before. So what can be done to get to people to think that safety and production are one, right? So how can I get to the level where safety and production are thought as one, so where we have a safe production environment? So this is our current safety strategy. So now we're transitioning, and some facilities are better than others, to the point where any time or any place where we're going to implement or change or do something, we're always looking at the safety aspect first. What would be the risk? How can we make this operation safer, right? I always challenge my supervisors and managers and safety coordinators where I tell them there's always a safer way to do stuff, right? So, but how can we merge safety with production? And usually what I've seen throughout my career is that having a safe operation will eventually make you and increase your productivity. All right, so as part of the solution, we also started focusing on our leading indicators, right? Always trying to look at a lagging indicator, which to me is a failure indicator. I really don't like those. I think they're always going to be there, but I'm assuming most of you on the call have programs in place where you're trying to focus a lot more on leading indicators. So what will the leading indicators do? Eventually, they impact your lagging indicators, right? So the more we do stuff, the more we inspect, the more we address, the more we fix, the less of a hazard or the issue you're going to have on the floor. So we started with our program and doing daily safety audits as well. And again, as I talk through this, this is stuff that kind of started everything at the same time, but we just started to develop the program and get better at it as we saw the need to do so. We started doing daily safety inspections back in 2014. Where do we stand at this time? We went through the evolution process of cross-departmental safety audits, where we were kind of mixing around supervisors and managers across departments to make sure that they saw things that the other supervisor didn't see, right? So sometimes you're in your department and you might see a piece of equipment that has a guard missing, and you see that every day, and it just becomes part of the scenario, right, where you might have somebody else come in and then they start questioning, hey, this thing is missing a guard. Why haven't we replaced it? So that was kind of the intent of doing cross-departmental audits, to get another view of a specific department from another manager. Safety observations as well. Coaching, right? Coaching is very important for our operations, right? So engagement of our supervisor and manager with an employee, getting to the floor, talking to the employee, and going through a coaching moment from back injury prevention, from ergonomics, from personal protective equipment as well. Safety talks are really our huddle guides as well. And then, like I previously mentioned, safety training completion targets at a 95% completion throughout the month. I can tell you we're kind of always at the end of the month at a 99%. Sometimes it is a struggle if people leave or they're on vacation. So there's always a straggler here and there, but we always make sure that when that person comes back, they sit down with us and then go through a training session. All right, so as we do this, I kind of started thinking, what am I seeing currently with all these programs we're developing, we're implementing, we're currently running with? I can tell you that with the increased inspections and observations by our managerial staff, supervisory staff, safety committee members, and other floor employees, we have seen a decrease in our injuries, right? Safety truth number two is increased diversity of observers. Like I mentioned before, also has enabled us to decrease our injuries. So what do I mean with this is, like I was mentioning before, we do have multiple people from different levels performing audits and observations. It's not only the managers, but right now we're currently managers and supervisors, we're also trying to get floor people to do that. We're at a level where we have leads and safety committee members doing those and through that training process. But eventually I want peer-to-peer observations. But again, through the increased diversity of observers, we have seen a decrease in injuries. And I think this is a challenge a lot of you might face on the floor, right? I'm very hesitant when I see 100% safe behavior observations or 100% or an audit that doesn't have anything. Everything was okay. To me, that's always a red flag, right? That's telling me the supervisor or manager or the person performing the inspection is kind of pencil whipping the form. I always tell them every time I walk on the floor, there's always an issue going on. Something happened or something. There's something there that we can address, we can fix, or talk to the employees about. So please do not turn in a clean inspection, because that's pretty hard. Not at the level we're in. Probably in a couple of years, 3 years, I might believe that, but we're still not at that level. So turning in a clean inspection, to me, is kind of a red flag, right? So I do challenge and go out there with the supervisors or have my safety coordinator go out there and kind of challenge them. Like, please tell me you did not find anything. So it's a critical component of the program, making sure that we properly record stuff. And again, it's not about making stuff up, right? But it's we know our areas, we know the challenges, we know the issues, and that's why we focus on that as well. All right, and just to give a quick overview of the changes we've seen here in Bumblebee with all these programs and implementation and working as a group, because this involves everybody, production, shipping, logistics, everybody within the plant, we have seen an operational efficiency increase of 7% within the last 2+ years. Safety awareness from all our employees in ownership. We are getting a lot of feedback from our people when we're on the floor. So awareness is at a very high level. We link to that. We try to speed up the resolution when unsafe conditions are reported or issues are brought up to make sure that we don't lose credibility with our people on the floor. Observation reporting by floor level personnel. So this would include our leads, our foremen, and our safety committee members. And focus on meeting our leading indicator matrix versus our lagging. We're trying to get away from that and making sure that we're really focused on meeting our leading indicator metrics. The good part is we've seen a decrease in our total recordable injury rate by over 20%. So we are very excited for that. Last time injury rates, we do have multiple sites that are close to 1 year celebration. We did have a site that reached almost 600 plus days without a lost time. And our one that probably your higher level management people would really love is we've reduced our workers' compensation cost by 30%. Huge, huge decrease. And our injury severity has really gone down, right? So the level of injuries we get as a company have decreased, right? So that's also a very good indicator that the program is working. Can we still get better? Yes, and I always challenge our team to come up with improvements and better ways to have a safer operation.
Thank you. I mean, these are like really significant results from the work, and I appreciate you talking about Alchemy. We are merely a tool set, though, right? Ultimately, it's your leadership and your supervisors and the management team that delivered these kinds of results, and we've been happy to be part of that journey. Thanks again for sharing those thoughts, and I think we're going to go to Q&A now next.
How do you measure food safety involvement as part of your plan?
Food safety involvement, I work a lot with my quality department from the planning of training and then the results of planning of training throughout the year. And based on that training, where do we need to get better? We're constantly doing audits of our GMP processes, so we're kind of linking those with the actual training, trying to see if the training is effective, if people understand it. But it's working in conjunction with my quality department, evaluating the results of our GMP audits and evaluating the results of our annual audits as well.
Terrific. Thank you for that. Raj, we now have a question that we will direct your way. You talked about employees having to drink from a fire hose with onboarding. How can I give employees adequate training information without overwhelming them from the very beginning?
I guess the first question is just to really think through the learning plan of what's really, really critical to get them to be on the floor and effective and safe, obviously. And just think through the strategy of the learning plan and lesson plans, right? And what do you really need by job, role, task, et cetera? I was just in California last week, and we were talking to a processor, a canning company, and you know they have almost a very seasonal workforce, and they're only open about 4 to 6 months out of the year. And for them, 4 hours of training is all they can really do on that onboarding process. They really focus on the critical task immediately in terms of training, and then they follow up over time afterwards with those other additional things. So just thinking through the strategy of what's really important, what are the most crucial and critical things to have, rather than all the things that you might want to give. It may not be relevant to most of the audience. The other thing is think about context for the content. If it's a new employee and they haven't even been on the floor and yet you're asking them to do a lot of training around these things, they just don't have the context for it. So thinking through the whole tour as well as the workload and then adjusting the training. I know that can be really hard because for many trainers, they know once the folks are on the floor, they may never get them back into the training area. And so you do have to work really closely with the production team and the production management team as well, just like Xavier has done with his company.
Terrific. Well, thank you for that, Raj. Xavier, we have another question that will head your way. It starts off by saying I feel very similar to how you did 2 years ago. There's so much room for improvement with training. Where and how would you recommend that we start? Kind of a crawl to walk, walk to run kind of strategy to get to the point where you find yourself today.
Well, I did a bunch of stuff, but when I started, I was very specific, and I had to sit down with the general managers and the higher level management people and kind of walk them through. I did a gap assessment of where we stand. So you always have to start with doing a gap analysis and identifying what are your needs as a company, and based on that assessment, you are always going to select the highest risk programs and the ones that would truly get somebody injured, right? So that's always a start. Not taking anything out of other programs, but again, as you as a safety manager, health and safety manager, should always be able to start with your highest risk. But what I did here is it sat down with management, explained to them, they're always going to want to see where do we stand as a company and what are the priorities and how much time and money is this going to cost me, and then what are the benefits. If you don't present that information, it's going to be very hard for you to get the resources you need to change your program and improve your process when it comes to safety and health.
Terrific. Just going to piggyback that question. We got another one that just came across. They were asking, do your temp employees go through the same amount of training as your full-time Bumblebee employees? Is there a difference in your program, or how do you differentiate?
No, they go through the same program, the same system. So when we have a temp come in, it's the same drill as a regular employee. So we don't differentiate. We treat temps just as we treat our regulars.
You mentioned in your earlier response talking about meeting with the senior leadership at your organization. The question goes on, you mentioned ownership of the safety program for all employees. How do you continue to drive that ownership between your frontline employees all the way up to your senior level executives and the leadership in your organization?
You know, I really push one myself, our safety coordinators and the management team to go to the floor. If you as a manager or supervisor are not on the floor engaging people, questioning people, coaching people, I don't think that for any program or anything you try to do as a company, you're going to get anywhere, because the people on the floor are the people that are going to get you there. So if you're not on the floor coaching and going through that process on a daily basis, then you're really going to have a hard time to get the program to the next level. So I'm the type of guy that loves to be on the floor. Unfortunately, I know all of us have stuff to do on a beautiful computer, but it's all about being on the floor. I do try to focus my day, possibly half of my day, I'm actually on the floor. And that's what's really helped. And I also encourage and walk out there with my managers and supervisors.
Well, terrific. Again, I would like to take a quick moment to thank Xavier and Raj for joining us today. The information you provided was very insightful. And to everyone who took time out of their day to join us, we very much appreciate you participating in today's session. And then the last little piece is, as you come to the Alchemy webinar page, the upcoming webinars on our site, we will be adding several additional webinars over the coming weeks. So keep a lookout, and we very much appreciate everyone taking their time. Have a good rest of your afternoon, and we look forward to seeing you next time.